Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to Prep Rally, a production of the Daily Journal. It's a webcast and a podcast. So I said good morning. Maybe it's afternoon by the time you're listening to this. Maybe it's night. Who knows? Again, the webcast is live every Wednesday around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. If you're listening to the podcast version, thanks for tuning in. That drops usually Wednesday afternoons in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Whenever you're listening, we got plenty of football to talk about. I'm Brad Locke, along with Blake Morgan. Blake, how's it going?
It's going well.
Good, man. Gene Phelps not here. He's out on assignment, staying busy, and so. But that's all right. You and I have plenty to talk about here, Blake.
Absolutely.
We had some upsets last Friday in high school football. So we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to look ahead to some of this week's key games. Plenty of big games coming up. Before we get started, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. You can follow us there to find out when new episodes drop, and also on Friday nights, tweeting out scores like crazy from there, and you can find links to stories that Blake and Gene write as well. So give us a follow on Twitter there at DJournalPreps. All right, Blake, upsets. We had lots of them. Let's start with the biggest upset, I would say, of the weekend. Tupelo taking down Brandon, at the time the number two ranked team in the state, at one time the number one team, but they lost to Clinton early in the season. But Tupelo takes the win at home 14-13, Blake. And I know Gene was at that game, but that's impressive because Brandon's legit, and holding them to 13 points. We've talked about their defense before, Blake, and Tupelo's defense. I know Trent Hammond is trying to maybe not compare him to that defense that took Tupelo to Jackson a couple of years back. But this seems like a legit unit right there.
They look really good, and they got Peter Gray back.
Yes, that was huge.
From injury, and Gene said he was just all over the place, and they have linebackers that, you know, they just get to the football, right? And, I mean, they just make plays.
And when you got linebackers named Jet and Diesel, I don't know how you can go wrong.
No, I mean, those are some solid Mississippi football names, right?
Those are two of the better football names I've ever heard. That's Jet Johnson and Diesel Howell, I believe it is. And then you got the quarterback. I mean, I know they only scored two touchdowns, but that's all they needed. And actually what happened at the end was Brandon also scored two touchdowns. And this is something that I'm sure – Brandon, people are second guessing. They scored late. They drove 99 yards.
99 yards, and with a minute left, they scored with 3 seconds left on the clock.
And then they went for two instead of going for the tie in overtime, which, you know, a lot of people will say on the road, you go for the win. At home,
Oakland
you go for the
Raiders
tie.
Just did it and won.
Yeah, paid off for the Raiders on Sunday.
Not so much for Brandon.
But no, Tupelo's defense, again, came up with a big stop there to seal the win. Against Brandon, so that's something you can debate all day long. But I know I like aggressive coaching like that, and I think it was a good move. You got to believe in your team. But anyway, Stephon McGlon, he did get the job done at quarterback, starting now for the second week in a row, and was solid. You know, he rushed for 104 yards, so obviously he can get it done with his legs, and we knew that he was a dual threat. Scored both of Tupelo's touchdowns. McGlon, just a sophomore, and this is one of those games, Blake, you think maybe a sophomore, as good as he is, he's still raw, and you wonder about nerves, and, you know, it looks like, and going against a team like Brandon, he didn't seem to be rattled.
Not at all. He seemed to be ready for it. I mean, only had 43 passing yards, it looked like they really tried to
emphasize
keep it simple
run.
For him. Yeah, right. Like, you know, make sure he didn't turn the ball over because the turnover could have been
huge.
The game. Yeah. And, you know, but you got to give it to him. I mean, he didn't make any big mistakes.
No, and they got
just
good,
a sophomore on that stage.
And they got good
really
running
well.
Back, so he's got good help around him.
Absolutely.
He's not certainly not on his own there. So good job by the coaching staff to really put him in a good position to succeed there. But and when you have a good defense like that, it helps as well. So big win for Tupelo. They're off this week, so they'll have a little bit of time to bask in that and get ready. I guess division play is next up for them. September 23rd, they'll play Hernando in their division opener. So Tupelo with a big win over Brandon, 14-13. That was not the only upset. We had a number one team go down, Blake. Boonville was our number one ranked small school. And they are no longer undefeated. They lost to Corinth 28-13. Corinth off to a bit of a slow start this year. They were 1-2 going into this game, and then they played a pretty tough non-division schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big for Coach Lowry there to get that win. And I believe that was that was the game.
Yeah, that was the game I was.
So what'd you see? I mean, that wing T, man.
Wing T was interesting to watch. And I talked to Lowry earlier in the week, last week.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get some explanation. Like, you know, I mean, you're the only wing T that I really see. Like, why? What's the thinking behind it? And he was saying, you know, if you can run it effectively, I mean, it's really hard to stop, especially in high school, because defenses just usually don't have the discipline to run it. And he said, and offenses don't really ever have the discipline to run it right. But he believes that he can install a version of it that can be run right. And they have a really special freshman quarterback, DT Sheffield, who already looking like he's starting to get a full grasp on the offense, which can be dangerous because that means 4 years of, I mean, this guy is electric with the football. And he scored, I'm pretty sure, Corinth's only touchdown a few weeks ago when they played Tupelo. And it was like a 60, 70-yard run. I mean, he is lightning fast. He's got a pretty good arm, too. Right now, their passing game is really just him rolling out and kind of dancing around some defenders and waiting for wide receivers to get open. But he looks really good, and he looks like the perfect guy for Ty Lowry's squad to operate that offense.
Yeah, that's an offense you don't see a lot of these days.
That makes it hard to prepare.
Yeah, but it's one of those, I mean, it's almost like, you know, trying to defend Georgia Tech's triple option
because
you don't see it. Yeah. But it's one of those offenses that I think is really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, for one, you don't get to see it much, but B, I just like the way when it's run well, it's just really
fun to watch.
And I mean,
it kept Boonville's defense, which had been pretty solid up to this point in the year. They just didn't really know where the ball was going. They had two big runs up the middle, Corinth did, and you could tell, like, they just didn't have anyone there. Boonville just thought it was going to the outside, and that's just how kind of the wing T kind of lulls you to sleep, right? You know, you just keep doing misdirections to the outside, and then spring one loose up the middle.
I was working in North Carolina several years ago. There was a small school up there called South Robinson High School, one of the schools that we covered, and they ran that wing T to perfection. They won a lot of games. They're a little 1A school.
Yeah.
But that was just such a fun offense to watch. They would have two really good running backs just about every year and a quarterback who could throw it when he needed to. They might throw four or five times a game.
Yeah.
And they would complete most of them. And they would usually hit at least one huge pass for a touchdown or something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was just like the perfect execution of that offense. And so it looks like Corinth is starting to get the hang of it as well. So that's a big win for them, certainly, over Boonville, 28-13. Pontotoc, this was not an upset. Pontotoc defeated Water Valley handily, 57-14, but I want to talk about the Warriors because they're off to a 4-0 start, and maybe that's a bit of an upset, the fact that they're 4-0, Blake. I don't know how many people expected them to start this fast, and certainly, you know, division play is another matter. But you had a story on their defense this week, and that's really what's been carrying them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and honestly, their offense has been pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. 57 points.
Yeah, 57 points. They're averaging, I think, they're beating teams by 22 points or something.
Yeah.
And so I had written about the offense earlier in the year and how quarterback Jacob Carter's playing and whatnot.
He's playing well.
And so I wanted to focus on defense a little bit because they've also been playing well. I think they're allowing like 11 points a game or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, just they're a experienced team. They have a lot of seniors all over the place, and they do a really good job of attacking the football and, you know, not giving up big plays.
Yeah. So a good start for Pontotoc. We're going to talk more about them in just a moment. Just want to hit some other notable results from Friday. Another upset, I would say, Lafayette defeating Oxford 23-3, first win of the year for the Commodores. We had Houston against East Webster, 31-14, the final. The Hilltoppers victorious there. And then West Point in a nail-biter, they beat Columbus 17-13. So there's a few more results there. You can find all the coverage we had and back in Saturday's Journal, or you can go back on djournal.com and find all our coverage there. Let's look ahead now to some of this week's key games. And we mentioned Pontotoc just a moment ago. They play at North Pontotoc. Big rivalry game here, Blake. Again, Pontotoc is 4-0. North Pontotoc off to a good start, 3-1. That one loss came when Zay Cullens, their star running back, got ejected for a late hit and missed the second half. Lost to Ripley. This game's at North Pontotoc. And, you know, it hadn't been that long, Blake, when I was covering the prep beat. This was still a big rival game, but it was not really a big game because Pontotoc and North Pontotoc were just not that good, you know, 8-10 years ago, not consistently good. Now they're both obviously doing really well, and this is going to be a huge game, even though it's not division. This it give us an even better idea of where these teams stand.
Yeah, absolutely. This is where I'll be Friday, and I just got done talking to the coaches this morning.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, two really good teams. North Pontotoc really should be 4-0. They had a big lead on Ripley, and then you know, the ejection by Zay Cullens, and I mean, you know, it happens. You're now 3-1. But yeah, should be a really good game. And talking with both the coaches, you know, I always ask like, what's gonna lead y'all to victory this week? And I said, you know, the last 7 years, North Pontotoc leads 4-3. So it's been pretty even the last few years. And both of them said, well, you know, it's the team that doesn't give up the big plays and that's smart on offense wins the game in this rivalry. And so that's what they're both harping on this week. So we're going to see who it'll probably come down to who makes that one extra mistake.
Yeah.
And that's who's going to lose.
Yeah, and they both got playmakers. We mentioned Zay Cullens. He's a big playmaker. Jake McCarter has had a great season so far at quarterback for Pontotoc. Another game to watch, Corinth, coming off that big win over Boonville, going to try to keep it going by visiting New Albany. Again, Corinth now 2-2 on the year. New Albany struggling early. They're 1-3, but this game's at New Albany. What I'm curious to see, Blake, is if, you know, we talked about the progress they've made with that wing T, can they keep making that progress and not take a step back? Because, again, you got a freshman quarterback, and he's really good. But with freshman, you know, 15-, 16-year-old kid, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. And I, in the game against Boonville, he scored the final touchdown on a run to give them 28 points.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they were up 28-13. And he didn't come back in. I just asked the coach about it, and he said, well, he's kind of had a growing injury, which has been – kind of hard to come back from it, and so we just didn't put it back in because he was a little irritated.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see if that has any lingering effects or not. I mean, he might be a little limited. I don't think that he will be, but you never know. And like, he's a 15-year-old kid. I mean, you never know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll be healthy enough this weekend. DT Sheffield off a good start there, and coming off a good game for Corinth visiting New Albany, and then we've got West Point hosting Noxubee County, which is usually a pretty solid team there in Noxubee, and West Point off to a 2-1 start. Of course, they opened the season with a bye week, and I'm trying to remember who they they beat Columbus last week, 17-13, as we mentioned earlier. Low scoring game there. So anyway, West Point, that'll be another good test for them. They always play a tough non-division schedule. And also, I want to talk real quick about Vardaman.
Mm-hmm.
Vardaman's off to a 3-1 start. They're back to their winning ways, Blake. You had a story this week about that. And again,
it's actually coming out tomorrow.
Coming out tomorrow. When I covered, again, going back to when I covered preps, maybe people are sick of hearing about that. Mark Bray was the coach of Vardaman. They were perennial contenders in 1A, winning their division, making, I believe they made the North Finals at least once or twice while I was covering them. They last made the North Finals in 2011. And they've always got good athletes going through there. But a couple of years there, very uncharacteristically, they were winless. They had pretty long losing streak. Did not win any games over the course of two seasons.
Yeah.
First two seasons there for Larry Gann. That had to be tough for him to get people to keep believing after two winless seasons. And then they win four games last year. And now it seems like the patience and everything's paying off.
Yeah, it really does. And it looks like they're playing some really good football. And we'll see, you know, once it gets into division play, that's when it really starts to take hold if you're a pretender or a contender. But so far this year, 3-1 start, Larry Gann looks like he's got them on the right direction.
Yeah, certainly. So Vardaman Rams off to a good start. Look for that story again in Thursday's journal from Blake Morgan. All right, so that's a look ahead at some of the games coming up this week. We'll have full coverage, of course. We'll have the scores updated throughout the night. Again, follow at DJournal Preps to get those scores updated, or we'll have them also posted at DJournal.com. That's where we'll also have all our coverage of Friday's games, Saturday's journal as well. Athletes of the Week, Gene Phelps not here, but he gave us a couple of Athletes of the Week. What we do every week, we honor a couple of area athletes who have excelled on the field. So let's start with the female Athlete of the Week, and you can actually read about her in today's journal, Maddie Hughes, a swimmer for Tupelo. Gene has a story. He covered that event yesterday. Tupelo had a home meet, and she set personal best times in the 100 butterfly and the 500 freestyle on Tuesday. So Maddie Hughes, a swimmer from Tupelo, your female Athlete of the Week. Male Athlete of the Week, Jamarcus Quarles, running back for Lafayette. Again, the Commodores with that big win over rival Oxford last week, 23-3, and Quarles had a big hand in it, 272 yards rushing. He scored two touchdowns in that win for Lafayette. So Maddie Hughes, Jamarcus Quarles, your Athletes of the Week. Congrats to them, and that's it for Prep Rally today, my friends. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, we're here every Wednesday. The webcast is at 11 a.m. live at djournal.com, or catch the replay later in the day. The podcast version drops Wednesday afternoon, usually between 2 and 3 o'clock, but don't hold me to that. But you can find that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. You can find Blake Morgan over here on Twitter at BlakeMorganDJ, doing a good job covering the prep scene for us. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke, and I want to remind you of a couple of other podcasts we produce here at the Journal, The Memo, of course, all things Northeast Mississippi news and entertainment with myself and W. Derek Russell. Got a new episode today with Scott Morse, guest co-hosting in place of Derek. And then we've also got double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. That's every Thursday. So look for those two podcasts from the Daily Journal. So that's it. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you get out and watch some football on Friday. We'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, have a good one.